Another 0-2. That's low. Almost hit him. Did Perez get hit? He did. He got clipped on the foot, and he heads to first. That was an 0-2 pitch, and Rodon chatting with him as he heads down to first base.
Yeah. That slider that he likes to bury, usually off of the back foot. And it was off of his foot.
So that is the Indians' first base runner of the night.
Yeah, you can probably tell that was the Chicago White Sox call on ESPN Chicago as Carlos Rodon lost a perfect game on a 1-2 pitch slider that got away and hit Roberto Perez. Settled, in air quotes, for the no-hitter, the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history. And no-hitter's great, Barker. Yep. Obviously, and this and Carlos Rodon's story is tremendous when you see what he's gone through in his career. I mean, this is not a guy that was necessarily tailor-made to have this type of success.
Mm-hmm.
But man, what a way to lose!
Yeah, well, it's look, the perfect game. A lot of that's luck. You know, you'd rather choke that slider off than you would hang it. You know, you don't want to give up a hit on a hanging slider. So you'd rather do that. Now, obviously, you don't want to hit a guy. You're not trying to do that. But that's a good pitch, right? You're trying to get the guy to swing over the top of it.
Well, the pitch was fine, yeah.
Sure was. So it's just one of those things, a little bad luck. You know, he collects himself. He gets out of it. He finishes it off. He gets the no-hitter. You know, that's the second one we've seen in the last five games.
Maybe
five days.
Think those new balls are doing something?
Yeah, maybe.
But they put no-hit seams on the balls.
I think it gets more to how good pitching is now.
Well, you made the point. I'm gonna let people in, and maybe a little secret, but we were watching. We got the Twins, and don't worry, I'm not going to libel you or anything. We had the Twins-Red Sox game on, Bart, and I can't remember who was at the plate for Minnesota, but we were watching it, and you just looked at me and said, I'd hate to be a hitter now.
Yeah. Well, when I played, you didn't have to really cover so much up and down as much. I'm not talking about a bunch of the plate up and down. I'm talking about the upper part of the plate, strike zone, and the bottom part.
Right.
You know, if they miss, it's missing with mid-90s and above. That's the difference. Most hitters that you know don't have the equipment, first of all. And what I mean by the equipment is mechanically, you know, mind-wise, the fortitude to go up and go, okay, I have to cover that big of an area.
Right.
To have success at the big league level, it's impossible. And, oh, by the way, you add the shift to it, which is, you know, I don't want to complain about the shift. It is what it is. But to add that to it and have to cover that big of a part of the plate, it's real hard. You can understand why there's three true outcomes now.
This is interesting hearing you say this, because there have always been different umpires who've had high strike zones, low strike zones.
Yeah.
But are you saying that when you played, there was more of an emphasis on in and out as opposed to up and down?
Or? Yeah, exactly right. The no-no was don't throw the ball up.
Okay,
right. It's easier to get the ball in the air on the ball up. You know, now maybe guys didn't consistently throw as hard, and that's why they couldn't get away with the ball up as much. And, you know, you went a little deeper with starting pitchers. You know, they were out there. They had to work through a first and second. Mm. You weren't going to a bullpen in the fourth inning like you do now. So, you know, pitchers now are going out and emptying the tank. Oh, well, we've seen that. First inning, you're getting all four of them. We saw Ryu do that. He's emptying the tank now and trying to, you know, get as far in a game as he can by doing it that way. It's not the easiest thing to cover up. You know, your swing has to be flatter. It has to be quicker. You know, you have to be mechanically better with your feet. You have to be on more on time with your feet. Your foot has to be outstanding. Your rotation with your hips have to be much better. And that just, it's a lot to ask a guy offensively to walk up and be, okay, I've been, you know, setting my sights down forever, and now I have to figure out how to hit the ball up too. It's a lot to ask.
Yes, 8-0. The Chicago White Sox won yesterday. Carlos Rodon settling for a no-no. Two outs
settling.
Shy of a perfecto. Your point about perfect games are are really well made. There's a huge amount of luck that goes into those games.
Sure it is.
And it's odd how they happen. I've covered David Cone's perfect game in New York, and that was interesting because Don Larson, who the World Series hero, and Yogi Berra were both in the stands because it was old timers day. So here's David Cone throwing a perfect game against the Montreal Expos with basically every living famous Yankee in attendance. Mm. And you know, I just remember covering Dennis Martinez's perfect game in LA when he was with the Montreal Expos. And people forget about that game. One, Larry Walker was at first base, maybe the 10th time in his career he'd ever played first base.
Mm.
And had to make a couple of really good plays. And two, Delino DeShields was at second base. And Delino DeShields kind of had the yips then.
Yeah.
And he got like 5 or 6 balls.
Is that when they were drawing the square in the outfield and he was trying to throw it?
They were drawing the square in the outfield wall.
Yeah.
And Jerry Manuel, who was the coach, would just work on throwing balls and trying to hit the square. And they'd go out early, you know, when there weren't a lot of people around.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things. You couldn't and I believe it was Mike Morgan. Whoever was pitching for the Dodgers had a no-no through 5 or perfect game through 5 as well. It was weird. It was one of those, when you looked back on it and you said, okay, how the hell did that happen? How the hell did that happen? Jesus, how did that happen? And you know,
yeah, throwing a no-hitter against the Indians in 2021, you could buy that. You know, not having Lindor anymore, and you know they are a pitching first team. Lineup's not the strongest.
Have you been part of a team that's been no-hit?
I have not. I haven't been on either side of the ball.
Okay.
No, it's odd that I played as long as I did, and even in winter ball. You know, I was a part of a lot of winter ball teams, and we didn't even have it there. No, winter ball is a bunch of free swingers and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not taking pitches. You're not working counts. You're not trying to make it to the big leagues.
Yeah, that's true.
It's none
that's
of that. True. And it's very hard to, you know, if you're a pitcher to set an example by moving guys' feet and winter ball and those kind of things, that just doesn't happen. So no, it's a cool thing. You know, I wonder what's cooler. You know, you've seen 4 home run games.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, no hitters? Which one's cooler? Which one you think's harder?
Oh, harder. Well. Carlos Dongalo
was the last guy here, right?
I don't know about harder. 4 home runs is pretty spectacular. I will say this. I think probably a no-hitter just because there are more balls in play, more stuff happens around that than the 4 home run game. The 4 home run game is you, the pitcher. Mm-hmm. He's throwing pitches. So let's... For argument's sake, 4 at bats, 4 home runs. Let's say you're 20 pitches. Let's say it's a 20 pitch thing, 4 home runs. It could be more, but let's just use that. But you look at a perfect game. A perfect game is going to be what, 27 up, 27 down. Figure out the pitches. There's just more stuff happening.
A lot more pressure too, I think, on the pitcher. I've hit 3 home runs in the minor league games more than once.
Well, I was going to say, when a guy has 3 home runs.
After you hit your second one, I mean, the other ones are gravy.
Exactly. Well,
it really is.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure guys go to the plate and go, geez, I've got 3 home runs. Like, I'll tell you what I think. I don't know if you'd call it pressure, but I think hitting for the cycle is a little more, first of all, it's not only a rarity, it's weird. Hitting for the cycle is kind of a weird thing because the triple. Who the hell hits triples anymore?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. I don't know if you remember when I first came up in Milwaukee, they would always, before the national anthem, they would always have the Harley Davidson guy come out and go boom, 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 and ride the Harley Davidson all the way around the field. I blame the Harley Davidson for my career. Because every time I saw that Harley Davidson, I kept thinking to myself when I was standing there, man, how am I going to hit a triple? So every time I'd go up, I'd be over swinging out and around trying to yank
trying
that
to get
ball
the Harley Davidson
so I could hit the triple just so I could win
the Harley Davidson.
So I blame that guy for my career.
That's funny.
Going right down the tubes.
That's funny.
It is.
We're going to be joined, by the way, by Rex Hudler. That'll be the more low energy part of the show. Rex Hudler will join us to discuss the Kansas City Royals, who, of course, take on the Jays tonight. 8 o'clock first pitch on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. 7 o'clock pregame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We don't know yet. I admit I haven't gone on Twitter in the last 2 minutes, so I don't know if that's changed. We don't know yet who will be starting for the Blue Jays tonight. I mean, there's many ways they could go. Of course, the Jays right now, they're dealing with Ross Stripling and his forearm strain, mm-hmm. and Nate Pearson is still working his way back from injury, and Thomas Hatch is, mm-hmm. I don't know where the hell Thomas Hatch is on his rehab path. Of course, in addition to Julian Merriweather, the reliever who has an oblique injury. So the Jays are kind of they're kind of trying to patch things together right now. We saw TJ Zoik yesterday. I don't know, Kevin, when you look at the Royals, give me your options.
Tommy Malone would be one. He's a lefty, you know, he's an experienced guy. You're in a big ballpark.
Yeah,
right? You know, he can get some soft contact, you know, you got a pretty good outfield defense. Yeah, he might be an option. You got your boy. Look, if you're going to use Tanner, this would be the time to use
it. Big ballpark.
Big ballpark. Yeah. You keep screaming that those are the two obvious choices for me. And I don't think you're going to call anybody up. I just don't think you're going to do that for one start, unless you put a couple of guys on the IL and you know they would take the place. It seems like those are your two choices. You fill in the blanks. Matt's the next day, so hopefully that's.
Barucki didn't pitch yesterday, did he? No,
he did not. So you'll have him for six, seven batters maybe.
Right.
You'd probably have Jordan Romano.
Right.
For a couple of he's mad at himself, so you'll get max effort from him this time.
I don't know where I'd go. I like your idea about Tommy Malone simply because. Yeah, we talked about Tommy Malone. He is what he is. He's not going to surprise you. And if he does surprise you, it's going to be a good surprise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be 4 2/3, maybe 2 runs given up or something like that. But you're going to get what you're going to get from him. He's not going to dominate, but you're right. He is going to.
Anthony Kay.
He's going to make contact.
Maybe Anthony Kay, you might see him. Maybe they call him up and let him.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess he's been down on the alternate site.
I like the 95 end of the righties. The Royals got a bunch of righties. That would be okay too. You know, Anthony Kay's a little backwards being a lefty. His issue sometimes is against the left-handed batter. He don't like to use his changeup. I know he's worked on that, but he's a little bit better with some righties, and that might be an option. You know, again, the lineup I'm assuming is not going to come out for a couple more hours because it is an 8 o'clock start,
right?
Because of where it's at. But that just means they got to be a little bit better offensively. They got to run the bases a little bit better. You know, Kansas City is one of those teams that didn't know any better. They got anything to lose.
Well, we talked a little bit about Kansas City. They're 6-4. They were getting a lot of love early. They have got a loaded minor league system. Dayton Moore has done a really good job of kind of building that team back up from the World Series team. They'll be.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's all right. Is it important?
No.
Find out. Does it involve me? Maybe it involves me.
Not everything has to do with you, Jeff. So, no. I was looking, actually, at the Blue Jays stats.
Mm.
Lowest with runners in scoring position on the season. They're fifth lowest with .206 average. You know who's the worst in baseball?
The Yankees.
The Cubs. At
.93, God.
They're hitting with runners in scoring position. And then you got the Indians, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets.
Yeah. Anyhow, the Royals were very, very trendy in the preseason picks. They're a young team. This will be a fun series. The Royals and Jays quite often, going back to 2015, there was a little bit of a rivalry that kind of brewed then. It's not the same now,
mm-hmm.
but certainly that postseason appearance added to it. But this is a team that is really going to very quietly position themselves to be a good. May not be this year, but man, when they get Bobby Witt Jr. up, whew, they're gonna be.
Yeah, I don't think
else.
They have the pitching to go where they ultimately want to go. Offensively, they're gonna be all right. You know, Salvador Perez is. I like him. He for me, he's the best, one of the best catchers in baseball. If
Agreed.
Not, the
I
best.
Would say the best.
He's a giant target. He controls the running game. You know that's still in the strike. If you're into that,
mm-hmm.
and tricking umpires, that's another whole nother topic. It's He is the face of that franchise. Yep. You know, they gave him a little bit more money and made him happy and to you know, to be there during this whatever they're going through kind of thing. The Blue Jays need to take a little bit of a step forward. I mentioned this. There's those games.
Graduation.
Those certain games that you go, the 44 games. Well, the 7 games against Kansas City for me are in that bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, you want to go 34-10, you want to go 35-9. To do that, you got to whoop up on some of the teams like Kansas City. And I understand they're off to a little bit of a good start. But right now, walking into this thing, if you asked somebody that didn't know a ton about baseball and said, who do you think's going to win? And I said, Blue Jays or Kansas City? Who do you think most people would say? The Blue Jays, just yep. because of Vladdy and Bo and Teoscar. I know Teoscar's not there, but all the names that everybody knows going into this thing, you would think the Blue Jays have the upper hand. And this is, quite frankly, for me, this is the teams the Blue Jays have to beat.
Yes.
No matter who's starting for the Blue Jays.
Well, if you agreed, and also if we're going to look ahead, and I don't want to look ahead to the postseason or anything like that, but I'm going to. You know, if you're going to be in that mix for wild card, the Royals could very well be
Jeff,
one of those
teams.
They
got to win 90 games. You know it, and I know it, at least 90 games. To do that, you know, the Red Sox are, can they stay this hot? Probably not, but they're going to hit most of the year.
Yeah.
The Yankees aren't going to be this Yankees that we're seeing probably the rest of the year. The Rays are always going to be the Rays, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to beat the teams that you should beat, and you're going to have to play halfway decent against those teams in the American League East. You want to win 90 games?
Beat the Royals.
There you go.
He is the Kansas City Royals TV analyst. He's one of our favorites. He's Rex Hudler. He joins us next. This is Baseball Central. It is Jackie Robinson Day across Major League Baseball. You will see players wearing uniform number 42 today in every game. And, of course, Jackie Robinson breaking Major League Baseball's color barrier. And there is a terrific article on sportsnet.ca right now about Jackie Robinson, his legacy. And a lot of interesting writing out there today about Jackie Robinson, not just his legacy, but also the impact that his joining Major League Baseball had on the Negro Leagues. I mean, effectively, it was the death knell for the Negro Leagues once their star players started leaving. It's a part of the story that isn't always told, or let me rephrase that. It's a part of the story that doesn't always get the attention it deserves. But the reason I also mention Jackie Robinson Day is if you are going to be in a city for Jackie Robinson Day, the perfect city to be in is Kansas City, because it is home of the Negro Leagues Museum. And as someone who's been to that, lucky enough to have been to that museum twice, I will say this is going to sound silly, because I know that we're not traveling these days, but I'm always obligated to say it. If you do find yourself in Kansas City at some point,
yeah,
go to the museum. Give yourself a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Soak it up. But definitely, definitely go to the museum.
I've never been.
I'm
jealous.
It is an absolute must.
Yeah.
It really is. And they do a terrific job, Bob Kendrick and the folks there. But again, that's when we are able to travel again. If you do find yourself in Kansas City, go to the Negro League Museum. Let's bring in Rex Hudler. He is the Kansas City Royals analyst. Hello, Mr. Hudler. What is up? How you doing? How you keeping?
Oh, fellas, I'm so happy to hear your voices, man. And I just can't wait to get to the ballpark to see your young, good-looking baseball team and some of your players and just watching the grand game. And, fellas, having fans in the stands is a beautiful thing.
I was going to say, we've noticed it. You know, obviously, we have no idea when the hell the Jays will be playing in Toronto. But I have noticed the fans in the stands, even in areas where, you know, it's been relatively limited attendance. There is a difference, and you're absolutely right. It's great to see people back. It's great to see people back in the stands enjoying the great game. Now, you talked about this Jays team, this young Jays team, and how exciting they are. I got to tell you, Rex, a lot of people going into the year were saying the very same thing about the Kansas City Royals. Like this team, you know, there's still some moves that might need to be made, but I don't think we're that far away, are we, from looking at the Kansas City Royals and going, that team is going to be a postseason threat for a couple of years.
Oh, you guys, I know how smart you are in baseball. And, you know, the Blue Jays know, too. Gosh, you know, both being expansion teams, you know, about 8-9 years apart, you know, meeting in the AL Championship Series in 85 and then in 2015. And unfortunately for you, the Royals stayed on top of that. But, you know, Dayton Moore has been here since 06, 07, inherited decades of losing and then built a championship ball club from the draft. And then, you know, after they went to the World Series in back-to-back years like you guys did, you know, back in the 90s, you know, you can't keep all those players. So they went on and made millions with other teams. And so Dade Moore said, I'm going to build our minor league system back up again. And so with a couple of 100 lost seasons the last 2 years trying to figure out who they are and the hiring of a young, winning championship manager, Mike Matheny, they're back. And let me tell you, Dayton Moore, he has the formula. He knows how to do it. And then so new owner John Sherman comes in. The Glass family, God bless them. We love them. They sold the team at the perfect time, and Mr. Sherman inherited a beautiful team and a beautiful ballpark. But COVID, none of us expected that. So anyway, this offseason, there were several holes that needed to be filled in order for them to compete and contend in the Central with the Twins and the White Sox. So Dayton Moore, a classy man, has a ton of integrity, never, ever bought into the idea of folding or tanking. Matter of fact, you bring that word up around him, he gives you the stink eye. So he's a competitor. He wants to win. So Mr. Sherman filled every hole, every need they needed with the plethora of free agents that were out there this year. Guys, you could have your pick of any of them. They went ahead and picked up 6 free agents, all of them. So far, so good, have worked well. Carlos Santana at first base, you guys know what he can do. Mm-hmm. Man, he's been impressive, not just with his glove, his throwing arm, you know, his switch hitting ability, on-base percentage, but his leadership in the clubhouse. So he added Santana, Michael Taylor. Benintendi was a trade that they had to do to consummate the trade. But, you know, they've got 6 or 7 players, all with World Series experience, to go along with Salvador Perez, who's an MVP and a stud. Danny Duffy, who threw 97, 98, we saw from Duffy again. They went out and got Greg Holland back. And you know, some of the old guys in the band are back. Wade Davis and also Gerard Dyson, who made some appearances now as a fourth outfielder. So what we're seeing now is the evolution of a new team coming, put together by Dayton Moore. And it's going to be fantastic, fellas. This should be a really good 4-game series to see where these two teams line up. Just fantastic baseball we're seeing. Starting pitching has been a little bit of a worrisome here for the Royals, but the bullpen was developed last year by Matheny in that 60-game season. So now we're seeing some pieces. And when I mean pieces, I mean a right-hander and Josh Stamont, who throws 100 and with an overhand curve. We have a left-hander named Jake Brents, who out of nowhere, we didn't even know his name before spring training. Kid's a left-hander that throws 98 to 100 with a slider and changeup. You know, Holland and Davis aren't far off from what they were when they were world champions. So, fellas, we get any kind of lead, we got the pen to hold it. I think, and after splitting with the White Sox, we took one after they took the lead. You know, in the ninth inning, we came back and beat them in their house in extra innings. I think the Twins and the White Sox know we're coming.
Okay. You sort of answered everything I was going to ask you there, but you did mention Andrew Benintendi. And Blue Jays fans will obviously know him coming from the Red Sox. I see he's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. Are you seeing him being pitched to any differently? Are you seeing something mechanically? Do you think the big ballpark there is going to help him? You know, you got to level out your swing there. You can't be swinging for the fences all the time. What are you seeing from Andrew?
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, great to hear from you, man.
Yeah, you too.
But I can tell you, yeah, Benintendi, I mean, players, it's not all what you see numbers-wise from their offense. Benintendi has 32 outfield assists since 2017, the most in Major League Baseball. Jaden Moore could have not found a better player to take Alex Gordon's spot in left field that he held down for years. And this kid, now he's not hitting like he wants to right now, but he's winning games for us. He's bunted a few times and moved runners in that second hole. He's starting to steal some bases to get comfortable. He's made some nice plays in the outfield. So he's been a part of the Royals winning this year so far. Now, he hadn't gotten going yet, but, you know, how can you not, when you're hitting behind Whit Merrifield, one of the greatest hitters in our game today, with no doubt about that. And then you're in Salvador Perez hitting behind you, you know, Santana, Soler. Now all of a sudden the Royals have a deep lineup. I think that's going to help him. It's going to take some pressure off him. He doesn't feel like he has to, you know, overdo it. And he had a couple of seasons in Baltimore where he hit over 40 doubles. Look, in the spacious Kauffman Stadium, we would expect the same thing from him. He's got a pretty inside-out swing and uses the whole field. And it's not hitting like he wants to right now. But look, they don't need him to right now. Shoot, you got too many other offensive weapons there, and we're doing it all without maybe the most talented individual in all of baseball, and Adalberto Mondesi. He's been out with the rib cage, and we won't get him back for another few weeks. But when he comes back, we'll be at full strength. And we'll be running, we'll be playing small ball, and we'll be hitting homers. And when you put that together with a pin that can hold the lead, they're in trouble.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to ask you, I'm sure Blue Jays fans look back to that postseason team, to the postseason Royals, and the way they played. And they'll be wondering, Rex, and you just touched on this here, I think, but when this team is all in place, right, when Mondesi's back, and God help the rest of the game when Bobby Witt Jr. is on this team as well. Oh. Are they going to look like that Ned Yost team that went to the World Series? Or could they, I'm going to ask this, could they conceivably be better? I understand everything has to go into place, but when you add Bobby Witt Jr. to that mix, could this team be better even than that team?
They're going to be more rounded and more powerful. Remember in 14 and 15, we were last in the league in homers.
Yeah, that's right.
And in the modern game today, you're thinking, what? Yeah. They got no pop? Well, speed and defense, you know, let's not forget about those commodities. For a ball club to be championship caliber, you have to have pitching number one. But the Royals in 14 and 15 didn't have a stellar starting staff. I mean, they had guys that could go six or seven, but the pin was so dominant and so strong, he had pieces to put in the sixth inning. But now you got a different manager that's more enthusiastic, more articulate in a Mike Matheny. So I'm going to say I love Ned, but Matheny's an upgrade from Ned,
mm-hmm.
No doubt about it, hands down. So you have a guy who's been to the World Series. Now he's putting these pieces together, and a general manager who's giving him the talent. Gosh, we'll be a lot more powerful. Soler, you know, he's got a year left. We might keep him. I'm not sure. They haven't extended him. Hunter Dozier got extended for 3 or 4 years. Salvi's going to be a lifetime Royal. Dozier's got some pop. You know, it's the same team. They're going to have the same speed. And they may not make as good a contact as the 14 and 15 teams, where they put the ball in play and they pressured defenses to make plays. And when they didn't, they took advantage of them. So I'm going to say, yes, that they have a chance to be that caliber again, but they could be better with their power.
Okay, Rex, let's get to the important things. How's the fishing in Kansas City?
What the?
Oh, man. Now, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
it's just about spawning time. Just about spawning time for the crappie. Crappie's my favorite fish, and it's the greatest tasting fish in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you're gonna throw your minnow, you're going to throw a little lure 10 feet from the bank, and you're going to hook up some nice 15, 16, 17-inch crappie. And then when you put them in the pan, and then it goes from the pan to your mouth, it don't get no better. So, yeah, we're real close to spawning season here. But I tell you, it's fun. The only thing now is finding time to go to the crappie hole, because I get to go to the ballpark.
There you go.
That's
you,
it.
You don't fish while they're spawning, though, do you? Like, you give them a little bit of privacy, I hope. That's horrible.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't quite figured, figured that out yet. But I tell you, what's fun is we do some spider rigging. I don't know if you've heard that. So one, you're at the top of the boat, you know, at the front of the boat, and you have your trolling motor, and you have four lines. Each guy has four poles in the water. Four on my left, and another guy sitting next to me on my right, and he's got four poles. So when they start, and you're down probably 10, maybe 10, 13 feet, and when they start biting, there's a guy that stands in back of you. So you pull it, you hook the crappie. Remember, crappie, you don't rip the lips like you do bass. You just kind of pull up a little bit. Just hook them. You don't want to rip their lips off. You just hook them, and then you give them to the guy in back, and he takes them off the hook. He puts your next minnow on, and then you just keep going. It is intense. It's fun and a lot of laughter and a lot of relaxation.
Hey,
man.
when all of this is over and me and Jeff can travel, we are coming to Kansas City, and you're going to take us fishing.
Yeah, my sense is I'll have a lot of time to fish, so
we'll make time.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to share with you how much we miss Canada, how much we miss the sports teams from Canada, how much we miss going there to visit one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and the baseball is top-notch. I can tell you firsthand experience. I lived a couple of years, Jennifer and I did, in Montreal, a little bit further east. But I can just tell you now, and watching the Blue Jays play in Dunedin and then play in Buffalo, it breaks my heart that you folks can't go to the ballpark yet.
Yeah.
So just hang in there, and when you do, let your hair down and just root for your Jays. And this team's not far away from being a winner. So just hang right in there and be happy that we got the grand game back.
Rex, always good to hear from you, my friend. Thank you so much. Stay safe. Be well.
Yeah, you're the best, Rex.
Take care, dude.
You guys are. No, hey, thank you so much for letting me share with them about our team.
Yeah, all righty. Take care. That is a great Rex Hudler, Kansas City Royals analyst. We will be able to let our hair down because all of us need a freaking haircut. I'm sorry.
You learn.
Okay, how the hell did you know? Okay, never mind all this baseball BS. How the hell did you pull that crappie question out of your ass?
I didn't pull that.
Okay.
I do my homework when I know people's coming on, and I've seen Rex. Rex is famous for fishing and filming it and putting it all over, you know, the MLB network. And,
okay, all right,
and,
all right.
You know, ripping the lips. I didn't know you didn't do that.
I got a little worried about spawning. I mean, give him some privacy. You know,
only you would ask that.
Well,
that's the only question you came up with.
Well,
listening to him talk.
Well,
give him some privacy.
Fishing for crappie is not exactly in my freaking wheelhouse.
Yeah, mine not.
I don't get the whole, like, that's not really fair, is it, when you have, like, 30 lines in the water? Where's the sport in that?
Yeah, I think there's two of them, so that would be eight lines.
It's like throwing a grenade. Isn't that like throwing a grenade into the middle
of
a...
just running a net out there and scooping them up? Maybe.
We need to get Brunt in here to talk about crappies and spider line. Spider lining? Spider webbing? Spider lining? Let me contemplate what a spider line or a spider web is, and I'll get back to you on it. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. It is a spider line or spider web, Mark? I don't know. Classic Baseball Central moment during the break. We went from talking about spawning to boning bats. I guess you're right. We're watching the, because Barker and I are all about baseball, so we spend all our time watching baseball. But we're watching the catch. We're watching the
Canada
Twins.
Corn.
We're watching the Twinkies, my Twinkies, and the Boston Red Sox play. And there was a guy with a, I didn't realize this guy was taking his weight and was rubbing it up and down the bat, boning it, which is
the first thing I would do is bone it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly what he was doing.
Well, you said it was. So you just you just wanted to say the word boning.
To you, not out loud.
You know what boning means on the radio.
Yeah. But it's more of, you know, I think he was asking for a little bit of help. Please let ball hit big part of bat. Let's go.
All right.
He's giving a little bit of that, right? You got to talk to it every once in a while to get it to work.
I learned a lot today, man. This is, you know, that's why I like doing this show, because I can learn stuff. I can learn about boning and spawning and crappies and spider lining or whatever it is.
He found his Jimmy John.
I don't know if they have Jimmy John's in the big league.
7 o'clock is the pregame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan tonight. 8 o'clock is the first pitch. Blue Jay Central, therefore, my guess would be 7:30 p.m.
Oh boy.
For Blue Jay Central on the TV set.
Attaboy. Boy, God. You're good.
Oh, Jesus, I need help. I truly need help.
Get in line.
So, yeah, we don't know who the Jays will start tonight. We are waiting. Maybe they don't know. Right. We do know that the Royals are going to run out Jacob Junis. We know we're going to see Danny Duffy on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to see Brady Singer, former Jays draft pick.
Two righties and a lefty.
That's a question with this team, as you said, isn't it? It's the pitching. The question with Kansas City is the pitching.
Yeah, long-term, too, I think, offensively. You know, that ballpark, the heat in the summertime in Kansas City is not the easiest thing.
I'll tell you what, you know, Rex is right. Adalberto Mondesi is a really good player. And folks, well, you've seen Bobby Witt Jr. play, and I know you're giving me that don't talk about prospect look. Bobby Witt Jr. is Bo.
I think we've seen the talking about the prospects here in Toronto. We did
Bobby
that doesn't,
Witt
always, doesn't always work out.
No, but he's
maybe, yeah. He's what you're seeing, what you saw
electric.
In spring training, you know, there's a reason probably why he's not on the big league team because he's cheaper right now. And that's just the way it is.
Yep.
That's how you run a business, whether you like to hear it or not. He looks a little bit like Bo. He acts a little bit like Bo. He thinks he's really good,
like Bo
thinks. You need that. You know, if you don't think you're good, nobody else is going to think you're good. You listen to Bo talk. You know, that yesterday when he said, I'm good. Why are you good at hitting a breaking ball? I've been hitting a breaking ball since I could be able to carry a bat because my dad makes me hit breaking balls. See, it's just that confidence that I've done it. I've been there. I'm going to do it here, and I'm going to do it for a long time. But what I took away from Rex, a lot of things. And I thought you might throw your ears up a little bit because that's who you are.
Throw my ears up?
Well, yeah. Whenever he started saying small ball,
no,
we play small ball here in Kansas City, and it's funny that they are 6-4, and Mike Matheny's the new manager, and you know, bringing a little bit of that National League to the American League. When your team's not all that, and
they played
their lineup's
small ball,
not
but,
hugely
but they played,
long.
They played small ball when Ned Yost was there. They didn't hit a lot of home runs because of the ballpark. But they're
still doing it. Is the point?
But well, yeah, the ballpark ain't changed.
Yeah, neither's their lineup.
The ballpark hasn't changed.
The Blue Jays 1-9 aren't the greatest lineups.
Now you're getting me going about. I was not. The small ball came out of left field. I mean, it's just it came out of left field. I was not ready to talk small ball today. There are teams that can play small ball successfully based on their ballpark.
What is small ball? Define small ball.
Now, this is where I struggle with because to me, I think everybody assumes small ball is stealing bases and bunting. And here's my perfect baseball. You tell me if it's small ball. I want a team that hits a ton of doubles. If you said to me, Jeff, design your perfect hitting lineup, I'd want balance, I'd want a lot of switch hitters, and I want doubles. And if we can lead the league in doubles and we're middle to lower pack in home runs, I'm a happy boy.
So the Dodgers.
But let me ask you that. But that's not small ball, is it? Is that small ball?
No. The Dodgers just have more talent than you, and they show it most of the time. That's what that is.
The only reason I mention doubles, and I harp about this a lot, and it's something I came to late, and it's entirely because of Cito Gaston. Other Felipe used to talk about it as well, but not as much as Cito. That if you hit a lot of doubles, and there isn't a captain obvious thing about this, you're going to have a good year because your approach is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you're going here to here, right? You're going.
Big part of the field.
Big part of the field.
There it is.
So that's my team. Now, does that make it small ball? I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like bunting in the second inning.
Why?
I don't care if Jesus is on the mound. I don't want bunting in the second.
You're not going to do it all the time.
No, because too much can happen between the second and ninth inning. I may need a two-run home run.
You know that predictability thing when you're facing a certain pitcher and you basically know what you're going to get from him almost every single time
but
he goes to the
don't
mound.
No,
Garrett Cole
you
is that
don't
guy for
know.
Me.
one run. And I guess it also depends who's on the mound for you.
2-0 looks really good.
It depends who's on the mound for you, too.
Then defensively, the Yankees aren't the greatest of teams. You put pressure on them. Maybe somebody chucks one over the first base.
We're still talking about a decision.
Because Rex mentioned that, and they're above 500. And, you know, they're feeling frisky. Everybody's talking about the Royals.
Everybody has this idea that a team that hits home runs, a team that moves the runners, a team that hits doubles that's not small. Everybody thinks small balls, like bunting your way around the bases and stealing and quote unquote putting pressure in the defense. If that's small ball, I'm part of it.
Two teams out of 30.
Yeah,
you can do what you said. That you is
can't
the perfect
win.
Team.
The Tampa Bay, do they play small ball?
No, they hit a lot of solo homers.
Bingo. Everybody says, oh, you know, the Jays need to do more of what Tampa Bay does and be that, you know, play the game the right way. Tampa Bay hits solo home runs. They pitch, they catch the ball, and they throw it.
Again. They don't face Gerrit Cole every single day. That's all I'm saying. Certain times of certain games in certain parts of the year, you do things
you
to
tell
put
me.
Pressure on teams.
Okay.
That's all.
You tell me what small ball is in your mind.
So small ball is doing the little things, like moving a runner over from second, which is a lost start. Nobody can do that for obvious reasons because of power. That's eliminated a little bit of direction. It's almost impossible to ask a guy to do that. Hitting and running would be one thing. You know, when a lineup's struggling, what do? You put people in motion. You put pressure on defenses. You make them think. What do you always say about Bo? But when he has to think about what he's doing, things start to go wrong.
But
when he's catching it and throwing it, that's the whole point in playing a little. But you don't do it all the time. Because you can't do it all the time.
I just think we get mixed up about small ball.
Small ball is not always swinging from the hip, striking out on and getting out in 12 pitches with first and second when you got a really good pitcher on the ropes, no matter what inning it is. That's all. It's okay. It didn't work out, and they lost the game. You like to lose? Continue to do that.
I'm not entirely certain getting a bunt down in the second inning is going
to. 2-0 makes it a little harder.
Already got the guy in the stretch. You know, what do I need to?
His stretch is a little bit different than everybody else's stretch.
What do you, so tonight, now this is, okay, this is a great point. Going from Dunedin, and we saw Bo's home run in Dunedin, and.
He knew it right away.
Well, he knew it right away, I don't know when a ball is hit out of that park.
Yeah, I don't think the flag means anything there.
It
looked to us like, right?
I'm lost when it comes to that. Now, Kansas City, bigger ballpark.
Yeah.
What is the approach? I mean, Bo's going to be Bo, Vladdy's got all that good stuff. Do they have to do something different in that ballpark in Kansas City compared to the little bandbox?
Well, maybe something has to do with the balls. We are seeing, one ball flying and the other ball's not. Maybe they just sort of you might get the wrong ball.
Bo and Marcus are getting different balls.
Yeah, Judge is getting all those balls that carry.
Tell you what, Ronald Acuna, give me some of Ronald Acuna, the balls Ronald Acuna is getting right now, please. Yeah. I want those balls.
Yeah. But they are very, very talented. I'm not taking anything away from that. But this is why batting practice, this is why you take it, Jeff. This is why you take batting practice, is you can find out what the ball's doing. You can find out how the ball's carrying. You can find out at your best bolt. To left center, if you're a left-handed, say you're Roddy Tellez, and you lay into one to left center in batting practice with backspin. That's all you got, and that thing don't go out. The little thing between your ears should click on, and you go, uh-oh. Now, all of a sudden, I should need to be hitting the middle part of the ball and not so much the bottom part of the ball. You may zone in a different area in the strike zone. Those things. But that's an advanced approach. So, you play the ballpark, you try and hit a few more line drives. You try and hit some more balls in the ground. Is this lineup capable of doing that? I don't know if Danny Jansen can do that.
What, hit grounders? Hit it
where they ain't. Try and play to the park. Try and do sort of things like that. Again, this team right now, because it is early and because some of the guys aren't hitting, the superstars need to step up and be superstars.
Yeah, boy.
The obvious.
I was thinking of this ballpark. How nice would it be to have Teoscar and George Springer in the lineup here?
Wouldn't it be nice? Especially when you don't know who's pitching. you want to score runs?
Well.
That's my perfect lineup. How's that? My perfect lineup?
All right.
It's got George and Teoscar and Bo and Vladdy
Randall
Grichuk. That streaky Randall? Ooh-wee.
You know what we're going to do tonight? Because we're in a big ballpark.
Yeah.
In a big ballpark. I wonder if Randall Grichuk. No, tomorrow we're going to talk tomorrow about Randall Grichuk's defense in center field, because you've been saying something since the first off the air about Randall Grichuk's defense in center field and how you think that we underrate it. So let's hope he doesn't make a game costing error tonight, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow.
We will.
We'll talk about Randall Grichuk in detail tomorrow. How about that? Perfect.